Up until a few months ago, I wouldn't have known the name of Jonathan Van Tam, or Professor Jonathan Van Tam, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer in England. And yet he's become quite a familiar face. We've seen him on briefings from Downing Street as he brings us up to date with the COVID-19 situation. And he's become rather famous for his metaphors. He's got a lovely gift of being able to explain things in a very graphic way, in a way that helps us understand what's going on. He's used the picture of goals being scored to help us understand the importance of the latest news on vaccines. So he says it's like this. It's like getting to the end of a football final. It's gone to penalties. The first player steps up and scores a goal, and the crowd go wild. You haven't won the cup yet, but what it does is it tells you that this goalkeeper can be beaten. And talking about the vaccine itself, he said it's a complex product. It's not a yogurt that you can take in and out of the fridge as you like. It's a complex product that needs to be handled carefully. He's also used the analogy of waiting for a train to describe this process of a vaccine coming along. You look down the track, you look down the track, and down the track you can see lights coming. You can see the lights of the train in the distance, and even though it's dark, you can have confidence that the train is on its way. And then he went on to say that this train is now stopped at the station and the doors are opening. It is so good to be at this stage with vaccines starting to come on stream, starting to be available, starting hopefully this week to be given. And we're all naturally optimistic about that, hopeful about it, although we still do need to be so careful with those simple things of hands, of face, of space, because we're not there yet. The goal has been scored. The vaccine can be beaten, but the cup is not yet won. We live in between times. The now of the vaccine having arrived and the not yet of it not being rolled out, not being given. As Christians, we live in those in-between times. We live in between the now of the fact that Jesus has come and the not yet, because he will come again. We live in the now because of the truth behind Christmas. We can look back down the track and we can see the light of the approaching train. We can see those Old Testament prophecies. We can see the coming light. We can see the promise of the Messiah. And last week we looked at that great Advent theme, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Joy to the world, for the Lord has come, the one who will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so in the reading that Pam read for us, we simply hear Isaiah speaking to God's people, saying, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." Was it there yet? Had the train pulled into the station? No, it hadn't. But these prophecies held out the promise of a great light, the promise of the Messiah, even perhaps especially while people were still in darkness. I think I've heard it a couple of times already, this Advent season, Holy Night being sung. It is beautiful. And there's a lovely line in it that simply says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." Now, why would a weary world rejoice? What would be that thrill of hope? Well, the line goes on to tell us, to explain to us, "Yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." Jesus is the yes to every promise that God has made for us. the Messiah, the Christ, was promised. And when Jesus was born of Mary in Bethlehem, then God kept that promise. The people to whom Isaiah spoke needed to hear that promise. For them, it was a time of turmoil. A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the story of Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking into the turmoil of God's people. Isaiah was doing something similar, except it was the Assyrians this time. The Assyrians were on the march, and people and nations were being defeated, taken into captivity. They were being threatened. And so the people of God needed hope. The people of God needed good news. They needed something encouraging. That all sounds familiar. Do you know anybody who needs hope, who needs good news, who needs a bit of encouragement? Certainly I do. And a lot of people I talk to during the week need hope, good news, encouragement. So here is what Isaiah says to them. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's the good news. There's the hope. There's the encouragement. He brings hope in dark times. During the week, I heard someone say that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus brings that hope, that good news, that encouragement. And because of Jesus, we can live with hope and expectancy in these dark and anxious and hesitant times. But the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is not the only theme of Advent. Sometimes we think it is. But another great theme of Advent is that Jesus will come again. That's why we live in the in-between times, between the now and the not yet. The first time Jesus came to Bethlehem, it was quiet in a little backwater village in the dark streets in a stable at the back of an inn, almost unnoticed. But when he comes again, it will not be unnoticed, for he will come in glory. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When Isaiah speaks about the birth of a king, he's speaking about the coming of the Messiah promised to David, a king who will reign. Listen again to Isaiah's description of the reign of this king. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As you read through the Old Testament, kings come and go, some of them good, some of them fairly awful, some of them atrocious, but they only reign for a few years. Isaiah points forward to the time when the king would come, the king whose kingdom would last forever, the king whose kingdom would be marked with justice and righteousness. Of the increase of his government, of his peace, there will be no end. And so Isaiah lifts the eyes of God's people with hope, with good news, with encouragement. And we can do the same in this Advent season. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that Jesus will return. And when we do that, we lose the joyous sense that God really is in charge. When we feel we're just left in this turmoil of a world with all that's going on around us, with nobody who's in charge, with nobody who's going to put it right, then is it any wonder we are tempted towards despair? But the Bible points to the Savior who will come. The Savior who will establish his kingdom, justice and righteousness forever. And the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. When we lose sight of that, we just lose that sense, that joyous sense that God is in charge. The Savior reigns. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. There is darkness in many forms in the world. Darkness that's out there. You listen to the news, it's not just COVID, the warfare, the famine, the climate catastrophe that seems to be striking the poor, especially hard around our world. The different things that are going on. And that's just out there. What about the dark things that happen to us? The sadness that we feel, the illness that we suffer. We live in days that are dark. But it won't go on forever. God is going to say enough and return as King to put it all gloriously right. The second coming of Jesus means that there will be a day when God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what will happen when Jesus comes again. It will be a day when this upside down world is turned right side up. Let's keep reminding ourselves that the Savior reigns and he will come again. Because when we lose sight of that, we lose sight of the fact that the second coming of Jesus seems to go hand in hand with a vision for our own holiness. Paul, when he writes to a younger man, Titus, simply says, live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. This present age, between the now and the not yet. In this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope. And what's the blessed hope? The glorious returning, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it should be an encouragement to us in Advent to remember that because Jesus will return, then we should also seek God's grace to be holy, just as he is holy, so that our lives will be self-controlled, upright, and godly in this present age. It's a fact too that when we lose sight of the fact that Jesus will return, we lose the sense that God's offer of salvation does have a deadline. Jesus told the story of those 10 virgins who, because they faff about looking for oil, get to the banquet too late, the door is shut. As the Bible says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And the fact that Jesus will return should spur us on to lovingly make him known by lip and by life. Listen to one of the most beautiful promises of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And here comes this promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The fact that Jesus will return means that he will take those who love him to be with him forever. So in this Advent season, there is joy to this world. As we struggle with the COVID-19 situation, as we struggle with the financial blows that we are suffering on our high streets, in our homes. There is joy for this world because the Lord has come and the Savior reigns. And may we as his people live in a way that reflects this truth. The Lord has come. The Savior reigns. Let's be still for a moment and pray together. Eternal God, speak into our lives, we pray. Use the words of Scripture, use the words of the songs and the carols that we sing. Use the voices of people around us that speak into our lives. Give to us that joy which comes not from our circumstances, but from the fact that the Lord has come and the Savior reigns. And one day he will come again. Amen.